In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I was chastised last week for wandering about too much and out of frame of this thing, so I'm going to try to do better so I don't incur the wrath of my wife today. No promises, as always. But I wanted to talk to you today about a guy by the name of Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford lived really a charmed life for the first part of his life, besides the fact, you know, the terrible tragedy of being named Horatio. He was born in New York, grew up there, went to law school, moved to Chicago, became a partner at one of the largest law firms in Chicago, used his money and invested very heavily in real estate there. And became sort of a tycoon in town, very well known, very well connected. And he actually became very good friends with a guy by the name of Dwight Moody, D.L. Moody. And if you're not familiar with that name, Reverend Moody was sort of the Billy Graham of the 19th century. So things are going along pretty well for Spafford and his family until 1870, when their four-year-old son, Horatio Jr., died of scarlet fever. Then in 1871, Spafford lost virtually everything in the Great Chicago Fire. He was devastated. He was trying to piece together his life at that point because he was financially ruined. And he remembered his friend, Reverend Moody, and decided that he was going to spend some time traveling with Moody and helping to evangelize as best he could. Moody was conducting an evangelism campaign in Britain, and so Spafford and his wife and their four children decided they were going to set off for England, meet up with Moody there, and assist in everything. And they got tickets on a steamship, and they were going. At the last possible minute, there was a business thing he had to take care of in Chicago. They were rezoning part of the city, and it was going to affect the real estate, such as it was that he still owned. And so the wife and the four daughters went over to England. A few days into their journey, Spafford opens up the newspaper to see that there had been a terrible shipwreck in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Huge, vast ocean, two ships collided, right? What are the odds? One of those ships was the Ville de Havre, which was the ship that his wife and his children were on. Now, he didn't know anything about it other than that there was a terrible loss of life, and for the next few agonizing days, he was waiting to hear anything if his family had survived. And finally, there comes a knock on his door, and he has received a telegram from his wife, who was in England. And the telegram said, "Saved alone. What shall I do?" This man lost a son, lost all that he had in the world, materially, and now has lost four more children. Well, he just gathers his stuff up and he finds the next steamship ticket to England so he can go and collect his grieving wife, and happens to mention to the captain that his family had been killed on this ship. A few days into the trip, the captain calls him up to the bridge and he says, "Sir, I wanted to let you know that as best as can be reckoned, we are just about over the wreckage of that ship. And I wanted to let you know so that you could mourn." His daughters were never found. So Spafford walks out and stares off into the undulating sea, and he cries, and he starts to pray. He prays the words that he later writes down. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, lest this blessed assurance control that Christ, yes, he has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, every bit, all of it, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way. Could you imagine living in that sort of tragedy and finding peace? Finding peace. Calmness in that great inner turmoil that he had to be experiencing. My brothers and sisters, so oftentimes we think of peace as being the absence of conflict. It's not. Peace has nothing to do with whether or not there's fighting or there's turmoil or whatnot. Peace has everything to do with the presence of God in our life. Everything to do with the presence of God in our life. When Jesus appeared in the room with the disciples, he says, peace be with you. The word that he would have most likely used, the word that we're sure that he used, is the word shalom. Now, we have perhaps heard that word. We have perhaps thought about that word. We probably know that it means peace. But it means more than that. Shalom is something that means completeness, wholeness, the presence of God. It can mean hello and it can mean goodbye. It's sort of like the aloha of Israel. But it's deep in our souls. It's not just a peace, hope you don't have any fights today. It's peace. The presence of God with you. And when Jesus shows up to his disciples who are frightened and they think they're seeing a ghost, they have no idea exactly what's going on, he says, peace be with you. He wants peace for them. He gave them his peace. But you know what? By our usual definition of peace, none of them saw it. Right? All but one of those men were going to die a horrible, frightening, sick death, except for one who wound up dying in exile alone. But they were at peace because they had the presence of God with them. Jesus comes, I believe, into this room today, and he says to each and every single one of us, peace be with you. Shalom. The wholeness, the beauty, the completeness, the abundance to each and every single one of us. We are called to accept that peace. Not that we won't have struggles and trials, not that we won't have loss or experience tragedy in our lives, but that we can get through it because God's presence is with us. God's love is with us. God loved each and every single one of us so much that he gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross for us. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the love that would come from that? That peace of God is yours today. All you have to do is accept it. Reach out. Take it by the hand. Put it in your heart. It's hard to find any better peace in this world. As a matter of fact, it can't be found. I believe many times people try to find that peace. They try to fill their soul. They try to put that, fill anything they can in that God-shaped heart, God-shaped hole in their heart. And we see the ramifications. People will try to fill it with power and money, with sex, with drugs, with what have you. But the reality is, nothing can compare to the peace of God, which passes all understanding. My brothers and sisters, there can be peace in your soul, just like there was with Spafford, even though he was going through hell. He knew where peace came from. I pray that each and every single one of us can have just a fraction of that peace in our lives. That we can experience the fullness of God, the love of God. I pray that God can descend upon each and every single one of us, and that Holy Spirit can come upon us, and we can truly appreciate God's presence in our lives. And then we can sing, "It is well. It is well with my soul." Amen.